Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Going Deep with Aaron Watson. I'm Aaron Watson. Please make sure that you hit the subscribe button if you have not done so already. But today's guest is also named Aaron. Aaron Walker is a life and business coach who works from his website, viewfromthetop.com. He's also started 8 businesses over the course of a long working career. He is a inspirational speaker and a valuable coach with a lot of lessons to share. I learned a lot from our conversation, and I'm really excited to just share his insights with you. I'm not going to go on any further. My interview with Aaron Walker. Thank you so much for coming on my show. I think you're actually the first Aaron that I've had on as a guest, so this is pretty exciting.
Well, it's exciting to me also, Aaron, and you're the first that I've done that the host was Aaron, so hey, we're a first today.
Absolutely. So I want to start off by doing research for this interview. Went to viewfromthetop.com, that's your website, and you are currently serving people as a business and life coach, which is something that can potentially cover a broad range of topics and can be a little abstract to some people. So I want to start off by just giving you the opportunity to explain what your mission is and specifically how you do your coaching.
Yeah, I am a life and business coach for executives and I coach men. Nothing against women. It's just I've elected to niche down and specifically coach men, and I help ordinary men become extraordinary in every area of their life.
Another key component, both to your story and the service that you offer, is in the form of mastermind. So in previous episodes, I've talked about the mastermind that I'm in and the growth and the push that I get from that group. And I know that you've been in a mastermind for a very long time. So I just kind of want to start off by understanding how you got involved in that and the value that you think people get from being in a mastermind.
Yeah, that's a great question, Aaron. And I'll tell you the truth. Masterminds have changed my life. It's been absolutely the catalyst that has taken me to the next level. I've got non-biased professional executives, people that are trusted advisors in my inner circle, and on a weekly basis, they breathe life into me. They help me, they encourage me, they empower me, they share resources with me, they make connections for me, and I do the same for them. And, you know, relationships are about what we bring, not what we take. And if we look at it in a mindset of how much quality can I bring, how much value can I bring, what can I do for you on a daily basis, the natural reciprocity out of that, other people want to do more for you. And so people have to know you intimately in order to help you make good decisions. And I've been involved in accountability groups or mastermind groups. Aaron, this is unbelievable when I even say it. Almost 30 years now, I look back over my life and say, you know, what has been some of the key components that have helped me become successful? And without a question, without a doubt, it's those accountability groups and those mastermind groups that have kept me centered.
Absolutely. I just started mine in the last year, and I can already see how much growth I've gained from that. And there is that kind of exciting energy where when everyone's bringing a mindset of, I'm just going to bring value to this group, I'm going to bring as much insight. Every time I learn something, I want my entire mastermind to learn it. You get this kind of powerful hive of learning that is incomparable. It's hard to explain until you've been a part of it. So I definitely echo that sentiment. So a lot of listeners of this show are in some way entrepreneurially minded. Maybe they have their own business or they're thinking about it or one day aspire to that. And you are kind of the quintessential entrepreneur. You've started 8 different businesses starting from back when you were very, very young. So to kind of take us back to when you were first starting your own business, can you kind of paint a picture of what the motivation was behind that? And maybe if you'd always kind of had an entrepreneurial bent. One thing I've found in talking with other entrepreneurs is they can point to, you know, some little project when they were 8 years old or 12 years old where they were delivering newspapers or doing something entrepreneurially focused that maybe set the stage for their larger entrepreneurial dreams?
Yeah, that's a great question, Aaron. Thank you. I'll take you back real quick. I'll give you a 30,000-foot view of the past 38 years. When I was 13 years old, I started helping my dad in the construction industry. When I was 18 years old, I decided to open my own retail establishment. I didn't have any money at all, Aaron. I came from a family of very humble beginnings. My dad was a general contractor, probably never made over $15,000 a year in his life. There were four children in a house that was 800 square feet. I knew all about being broke and poor. I mean, because we didn't have any money. But I took the initiative to find a couple of guys that did have a lot of money. I took my experience from 13 to 18 years old and went to these guys and said, let's open our own store. And we did. Took about 3 months to work through that process. We opened our first store. Very successful. Right out of the gate, we worked hard. When I was 18 years old, I had 27 years old. I started when I was 18. When I was 27 years old, I had four stores. We sold out to a Fortune 500 company in Fort Worth, Texas, that were growing through acquisition. They had rather, acquire and pay more than they had to do a startup. So they came to me in Nashville, made an offer I couldn't refuse, and then I was finished. You know, I thought I was finished. I took a break, took about 18 months off, and I became extremely bored. I was depressed. I was getting in the bed in the middle of the day. I gained 50 pounds in 18 months because I wasn't doing anything. And my wife woke me up from a nap one day and she said, Avery, you got to do something. I mean, this is so unlike you. You're so energetic and you do business well. And now you're just sleeping and you're getting fat and you're getting lazy. And what's up with this? And I said, I don't have any purpose. There's no reason to get up. You know, I've got a little bit of money in the bank and our schedule is pretty flexible and do what I want, and I just don't feel like there's a purpose. She encouraged me to go back to work, and I went back to the company I started with and bought 50% of it, spent the next 10 years, Aaron, growing that company four times the size it was when I bought it. And then in 2001, I was headed to the office. It was August 1st, 2001. It was hot outside in Nashville, and I was riding down the road, and I had a horrific automobile accident at 7:30 in the morning, August 1st, and I killed a pedestrian that was crossing the street, and it was so surreal. I don't know if you've ever experienced a major catastrophe in your life, but it was almost like slow motion. It was kind of an out-of-body experience where I felt like everything slowed down to a crawl, and I was so nervous, and I was praying, God, please don't let this have happened, and I'm shaking. I stop on the side of the road. I get out of the car and I look, and there's a guy laying face down in the road, four lanes of traffic, and I didn't know what to do. And so I finally got my hand calmed down enough to dial 911 with my cell phone, and ambulances came and police cars came, and it was surreal. It was like, this is really not happening to me. And it really rocked my world. I mean, seriously, you can only imagine. And Robin and I talked about it afterwards. The guy lived 3 days in the Vanderbilt trauma unit, and it rocked my world. And I just said, I'm done. You know what? I've been working since I was 13. I'm 40 years old at this point. We had grown these businesses very successful, and I just said, I'm finished. So I went to my partner. I sold the business, and I quit. I didn't do anything for about 5 years. I took off about a five-year period. We built a new house, changed locations. And then one day, my wife woke me up from a nap, and she said, okay, you're getting fat and lazy again. It's time to do something. So I'm, 44, 45 years old at this time, and we go into the construction business. So for the next 6 or 7 years, we build a very successful construction company. We're number one in Middle Tennessee 3 consecutive years. And when I turned 50, I retired, and Dave Ramsey and Dan Miller are good friends of mine that have been in a mastermind group with me now for about 10, 12 years. They encouraged me to coach, and I started coaching. Now I have guys nationally and internationally, and I lead these mastermind groups every week. And quite honestly, Aaron, I'm having the time of my life.
Yeah, that is a bit of a departure from what you'd been doing previously, and I want to really get into the coaching side of things a little bit later on, but you mentioned these two guys in your mastermind group. When did you decide to join a mastermind group, and was there any like hesitation, or just tell me about what that process was like? Because for me, I'd heard about masterminds on other podcasts and people like Pat Flynn and others raving about the value that they got from those experiences. And when my cousin actually mentioned that he was in a mastermind group, I immediately jumped at the opportunity to join him and kind of just said, hey, is there any way that maybe I could like sit in on one and see what you guys are doing? I'm really interested in that. And he, you know, allowed me to come along, and now I'm a part of the group. But I'd be interested to see what your experience was like there, because I'm guessing you weren't listening to podcasts talking about masterminds at that point in time.
Yeah, you know, in 1995, I went to Luby's Cafeteria. They had a Chamber of Commerce breakfast, and there was a guy there speaking, and he was a cool guy. You know, he had a really neat concept. And I went up to him afterwards and introduced myself. So this is like 1994, 1995. And I introduced myself. And he said, hey, where's your business? I told him, I said, I'm right down the street, and I'd love for you to come check out my business. And he did. And he said, I'm starting this radio show, and I'd love for you to advertise on my show. And I said, no, thank you. I'm not interested. And I'd never heard of him. And he was the salesperson. He was the host. He was everything. He was on one station here in Nashville. And finally, he said, I'll give you advertising if you'll just try me for 1 week. And I thought, well, I'm a pretty smart business guy. I can't lose on that deal. And so I gave him the week, and I said, okay, I'll try you out. 3 days in to that radio program was going to be the absolute catalyst for changing my life. That is my first encounter with Dave Ramsey. And Dave and I became friends. I was his second sponsor on his radio show. We've been on Dave's show now every day for 20 years as an advertiser, either a business I own or have owned. And we formed a really good friendship. Dave came to me a few years later. He saw me at a concert, and he said, hey, I want you to join my mastermind group. And I said, what in the world is a mastermind group? He said, just trust me on this. And he said, it'll be awesome. And I said, well, okay, I'll come check it out. So I went to his office in Franklin, Tennessee, and a bunch of guys sitting around a table, and I didn't know any of them. But later, you know, it was Dan Miller and Ken Abraham and Jeff Mosley and Dave Ramsey and some other guys you may or may not know. And those guys were kind of starting their careers also. See, a lot of people say, yeah, man, if I was in a mastermind with Dave Ramsey and Dan Miller and Ken Abraham, I would do it too. But my point is they weren't the guys then that they are now. They were just starting their businesses. They were just getting going. You know, Dave was on one station, you know, in 1995. He's on 800 stations now. Ken Abraham has 110 books in print now. You know, he's a 7-times New York Times number one bestseller. Jeff Mosley, you know, is INO Records. He's got a big label. Dan Miller's 48 Days to the Work You Love. These guys have awesome businesses now, but it's because of the collective energy of the mastermind groups. Because where you got smart guys, you got guys with, you know, doing well, you put those guys together, and now you've got the IQ just went up to genius. Because you got 10 guys that are really smart, they pull their collective energies together. And normally, historically, when you've got a consensus of 8 or 10 guys, probably going to work. And so that's the reason I belong to a mastermind group.
So that's a little bit larger than mine. And mastermind groups can take all sorts of shapes and sizes. But are there any, you know, particular qualities that when you either create your mastermind groups through your coaching program or in the mastermind groups that you're a part of, that you really prioritize as the key features that will make it a great experience for everyone involved?
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. Even in our group, it was very diverse in regards to our professions. It was very diverse in net worth. It was very diverse in a multitude of things. But what was the underlying common denominator was the character of the people. We all wanted to be better husbands, better dads. We wanted to be better businessmen. We wanted to do it with integrity. We wanted to do it with immense honesty. That was the common thread. It was people that were above board, guys that were willing to work hard. And then secondary would have been guys that want to be relational in their families. They choose to add value more than they elect to make money. And as a direct result of that, they make more money because of it. We've just got to get our priorities straight in that regard. So I would say the common denominator would be men of high character, honesty, and integrity.
So after, you know, this horrifying event that happened to you, or that you were involved in with the car accident, and you kind of found coaching as, you know, a change of pace, something that you're really enjoying after kind of leaving the business world for a little while. You got this motivation and were kind of pushed from your fellow mastermind group members, but what about the ability or the service of coaching attracted you and made you feel like this is something where I can really contribute and kind of re-enter the business realm?
You know, Aaron, I'll be totally transparent with you and I'll be totally honest. I didn't want to do it at all. When those guys came to me, they said, you need to coach. I started laughing. I said, I'm not coaching anybody. I've got 30 plus years in. I've worked hard. I don't need to work anymore. I can sit on the front porch, do what I want, play golf, fish, hunt, write, whatever I want to do. I'm not coaching anybody. And they said, well, that's pretty selfish, right? I mean, you've got these God-given talents to grow businesses. You've got all these experiences. You've had all this mastermind experience. And so now what you're saying is I've got enough for me. So best of luck to the rest of you. And I said, well, I hadn't looked at it exactly like that. And they said, well, why don't you share your experiences? Why don't you help young guys to maybe not have to go through some of the trials that you've gone through? Why don't you help these young guys overcome these hurdles? Why don't you warn them? Why don't you keep them in the center of the road? Why don't you coach them and educate them and teach them so that they don't have to go through some of the same experiences you did? And so I started thinking about that, and I'm a Christian, so I prayed about it and thought about it, and I thought, you know, I probably can help some of these guys. And so I said, well, I'll test the water. And so Dave Ramsey invited me to Entree Leadership Mastery Series. He said, hey, if you'll come and do this, I'll gift it to you. And I thought, well, that's a $10,000 gift. Sign me up. Yeah, I'll come. So I went. I loved it. It was incredible. Dave puts on such a fabulous event. Dan Miller said, hey, come and do Innovate out at the sanctuary. So I went out there, and same way, man, I loved it. And I said, you know, maybe, I don't know, I got to think about it. So that night I'm driving home. I get a text on my phone. I look down, and it's Dan Miller, and he texts me, and he said, you have got to coach. He said, I watched those guys around you, and they were leaning in. They were listening to what you had to say. And I said, well, Dan, I'm just a good storyteller. And he said, no, Aaron, you've got something to say. You've got stories to tell. You've got things that are motivational for these guys. You can help them. You need to coach. So I went home, talked to Robin about it. Robin and I have been married now 36 years. And she said, you know, if you feel led to do that, do it. So I started experimenting, and a couple of guys called me, and they said, hey, would you coach me? I met you at Entree Leadership, and I liked what you had to say. So I said, well, sure. So I coached this guy. Then another guy in a business I owned called me, and he said, hey, I found out you were in this business. Would you coach me? I said, okay. So people started talking about all these podcasts. You know, this is several years ago. And I wasn't even that familiar with podcasts at the time. And so I said, who is the guy? Whose show can I get on and tell my message? And so I sat down on my patio, and I wrote a message out to John Lee Dumas on Entrepreneur on Fire. And people said, you're not going to get on there. Only 365 people a year get on there. You're not going to get on there. That night, I got a reply from him. He said, man, I want you on my show. And I thought, well, here we go. And so I got on his show, and my phone blew up, and my calendar filled up, and national and international guests. Client started calling me and said, I heard you as a guest on John Lee. And so anyway, then I've been on there a couple of times since, and it's just been phenomenal. One thing led to another, started getting other invitations, and quality guests and quality hosts started calling me, like Aaron, like you called me and said, hey, need you on my show. And so it's just one show's led to the next and one person to the next. And we started masterminds. We got six masterminds that we facilitate now on a weekly basis. We have what's called the community. Aaron, this community is phenomenal. We have guys all over the world joining our tribe, and it's $37 a month. Like, anybody can afford it. And so the absolute value that you get, the webinars we do every week, the private Facebook pages, you know, the meetups that we do, is phenomenal. And these guys are connecting all over the world, and it's only as a direct result of being in these mastermind groups. I just see the value of pooling your energies together, and the encouragement, the edification, the empowerment that you get from being in those groups weekly is just immeasurable.
That's awesome. I'm sure a lot of the members of these mastermind groups are sharing and teaching each other, but as a facilitator, as a coach, I'm sure that you're having a lot of conversations with these clients as well. Is there anything that you find yourself consistently teaching, coaching, harping on across the whole spectrum of your clients?
You know, here's the common theme with everybody. every single person, and I've coached a lot of people, everybody wants to be successful, right? That's a given. Everybody wants to feel like that they're going to leave a legacy that's important, which I term significant. And I help guys achieve that. Most people think I can only be one or the other. I got to devote all my effort and energy to being successful, or I've got to sell it all and give it to the poor and be significant. And I say, no, absolutely not. You can be extremely successful. And it's not that hard to be successful. I can teach you how to make money. It's really not that hard to be successful. If you do the principles and you walk through the process and you do the mundane task religiously like I teach, and it's not that hard to make money. Well, what is hard is to balance the two and be significant along with being successful. We have to allocate the time to be significant. We have to intentionally plan. Most people live their life being reactive and not proactive. And I teach people to sit on the porch, take this 3-page document that I wrote called What Do I Want? Go through it and design a life that you want to live. Listen, Aaron, we don't need to live other people's dreams. We don't need to live your daddy's dream or your mama's dream or your neighbor's dream. We need to live our dream. And if you're married, sit on the porch with your spouse and say, hey, what do we want to do? What do we want our life to look like 90 days from now, a year from now, 5 years from now, when we're an empty nest? What do we want to be doing? Where do we want to be living? What kind of income do we want? Most people want to make as much money as they can, and they want to buy bigger, better, shinier, faster stuff. Well, maybe making your business bigger is not going to make your life better. And you really need to think through what quality of lifestyle you want to live. And once you determine that, we can devise a plan to help you achieve your personal goals and dreams. But we have to do it very intentional.
Absolutely. That's another great message is having intent behind the decisions you're making. No one can ever be sure, you know, this was the right call or wrong call, or this was the best possible outcome. But when you have intention behind the decisions that you're making, that just kind of seems to add some juice to anything that you're doing. Some of the people who are listening may not be, you know, that already pre-established business owner or experienced entrepreneur. They may be the quote-unquote wantrepreneur who has some aspirations, has been maybe thinking about it, whether they're mid-career looking for a change or, you know, getting out of school and trying to figure out what path is going to be the right one for them to take. If you were talking directly to that entrepreneur who maybe has some anxiety about the instability of a more entrepreneurial path, and, you know, you've been through these different trials and tribulations starting your different businesses, what advice would you give specifically to a entrepreneur who's kind of wrestling with those issues?
Well, first of all, saying that you're working for someone else is going to give you stability. There's no greater myth. Ask the people that work for Enron. Okay? So to think that I'm secure because I work for General Motors or Ford Motor Company or Enron or any of these companies, an executive sitting in the ivory tower can eliminate your position this afternoon and you're done. So there is no security there either. So I would overcome that myth first. I had rather be in charge of my own destiny, right? If I want to work hard, let me tell you something, Abram. When I was young, when I was 18 years old, I wasn't married. I got married a year later. Robin graduated from high school. 2 weeks after she graduated from high school, we got married. She'd come down to the store. We would work like a Turk. I mean, we would work day and night. If you want it bad enough, you can be successful if you're willing to delay gratification. See, that's the problem, quite honestly, with most young people today. They want what their parents have, or they want what someone else has got that's been in a position for a long time. We haven't learned to delay gratification. Robin and I, this has been in the 80s, the early 80s, we took an $18,000 salary for 9 years. We poured all the money that we made back into the company. I paid a 10-year loan off in 38 months, the first company I had, because I didn't take the money. I lived on an $18,000 salary. We took the profits and we put back into the company. When I was 21 years old, we bought our second store, and we did the same thing. It took about 4 years to pay that store off. We poured all of the profits back in it. We lived in a condo when we first got married. I paid $19,500 for. Then we bought a $79,000 house. I could have bought a much bigger house. I could have bought a much nicer car. I could have taken way more money. But I wanted to live like no one else then, so today, I'm 55, I can live like no one else. And that has come to pass, not because I'm that smart, it's because I'm that diligent. And there's no one hearing my voice that can't do the same thing. It's just if you're willing to sacrifice some things to have the grander picture later. We have to learn to delay gratification.
For sure. That's an excellent, excellent lesson. I am one of my other favorite podcasts is the Tropical MBA, and they talk about documenting the entrepreneur mobiles of them and their listeners. So they'll send in pictures of, you know, the 20-year-old beater that's, you know, barely hanging on by a thread, but instead of splurging for some new car, despite the fact they can probably afford it, they are, you know, reinvesting their profits back into their businesses with the trust that that's going to pay much larger dividends down the road. So I definitely echo that sentiment. I'm personally driving an old Honda Odyssey that's, you know, been to the shop more times than I can count.
Hey, listen, let me just tell you something. I'm 55 years old, and I say this with great humility, okay? I could drive anything. I drive a 2006 Toyota Tundra, has 186,000 miles on it, okay? So all I'm saying is you've got to put your priorities in a place that's going to make a difference long term. Now, to be totally transparent, I'm looking for a new car right now. I've been driving this one for 10 years, and that's about how long I keep cars, and I'm looking for a really nice SUV right now, and I'll buy that once I find one that I like. So I'm just saying that be very intentional. Think through what you do. Live on purpose. Live very intentional. Don't live reactive, but live proactive in every decision that you make. If no one takes anything I'm saying from this episode other than live intentional, be deliberate, and delay gratification, I think that will pay huge dividends to your life.
I totally agree. I think that's a great note to start wrapping up on. Before we tell people how to connect with you in the digital world and you issue the personal challenge to the audience, Aaron, is there anything I didn't give you a chance to say?
You know, I just want to tell you a couple of mantras that I've lived my life by. When I was young, my mom would never allow me to say can't. She said, you might not be able to do it, but you're going to try. Well, as a result of that, the things that she pushed me to try, I was successful at. And she had a little saying. She'd say, can't, couldn't do it, and could did it all. And I've lived my entire life under that premise. Now my wife uses it against me. She'll say, I'm not sure you can do that. And I'll go, dadgummit, Robin, you know that gets me fired up. Sure, I'm going to do it. And the other thing is fear. Aaron, people are so afraid today to take a chance. And I just say fear missing an opportunity more than you fear failure. And if you'll ever get to that point, you won't lay in bed at night and say, will it work? You'll know. Either it did or it didn't. I couldn't lay in bed at night and think, would it have worked? And so my mantra is fear missing an opportunity more than you fear failure.
I love it. Thank you so much for all the advice that you've distilled in the last half hour, Aaron.
Hey, hold on a minute. I got a gift for your listeners. Can I give them something? Is that okay? Is gifts permissible on your show?
I'll allow it.
Hit me. Listen. Go to this site, viewfromthetop.com/goingdeep, all in lowercase letters. There's three documents I use every day, and I wrote each one of these. One of them is a personal assessment. I spoke on it a little bit earlier. It helps you identify your identity, your ideals, relationships, your faith, your family, your career. It really asks you some thought-provoking questions. The next one I told you about also, what do I want? There's a three-page document. It asks very specific questions like, if you weren't hindered at all geographically or financially, what would you do with your life tomorrow? And it's got questions like that that you can answer. People say, okay, Aaron, I understand who I am. Now I know what I want, but I don't know what to do next. I've created a document called Steps to a Productive Day. It starts you out very early in the morning. It walks you through your entire day and helps you map out a strategy to be more productive. I've taken the price off all those, and I'm going to give them to your audience. So if you'll just go to viewfromthetop.com/goingdeep, all in lowercase letters. Those three documents are there for you.
Fantastic. As always, that will be linked to in the show notes at goingdeepwitharon.com/podcast. Aaron, if people want to learn more about you or connect with you, where's the best place to find you in the digital world?
Yeah, the best place is viewfromthetop.com. I love to hang out with people on Twitter at VFTCoach. That's V with a Victor, VFTCoach. And I would love to hang out with you there. Listen, if you're looking for a really affordable way to get involved with me, the community is absolutely, without a question, the place to go. And if you'll go to my site, View From The Top, there's a box that'll pop up. You can join the community there. It will put you in direct contact with executives all over the world, and it will be an absolute home run place for you to spend your time. I'd love you to join my community.
Excellent. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Aaron. I really appreciate it. I'm going to give you the mic one last time to issue a personal challenge to the audience.
You know what I do all the time that has paid huge dividends for me is that I will call people at random, and I won't ask them for anything. And what I mean by that is I'll call and check on them. I'd be like, hey, Aaron, how's it going? How's your wife, your children? Most people, Aaron, are waiting on the question. It's like, oh, while I got you on the phone, let me ask you a question. That's 99% of the time, but I don't ask the question. And then when I hang up the phone, it makes an indelible impression on that person. It's like, man, he really was interested in me. The book, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Carnegie, will help you more be successful in every arena of your life because it teaches you how to take care and treat people. So really pour into relationships, really reach out there and make phone calls, give words of encouragement, send letters of affirmation, do endorsements, do recommendations before people ask you, and I promise you it'll change your life.
Fantastic advice. We just went deep with Aaron Walker of viewfromthetop.com. Hope everyone out there has a great day.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you so much for listening, and thank you, Aaron, for coming on the show. This has been a lot of fun to put together. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I encourage you to make sure you hit the subscribe button and also head over to goingdeepwitharon.com so you can sign up for the newsletter. It comes out once a month featuring our best episode along with some of the other coolest things I find on the internet that will help you in your personal and professional growth. So please be sure to check that out. It is a really cool project that we've launched here in 2016, and we're excited with all the people we've already been able to help. Also, be sure to make sure you check out the show notes for this and all episodes at goingdeepwitharon.com/podcast. We have links for how to connect with all the guests that have come on. They want to hear from you, so go make it happen. Until next time, I'm Aaron Watson. I hope everyone has a great day.